بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The question that is often asked, and this is like the third time I was asked about it in this room, concerning the infallibility of the messengers. And this brings really an additional point of benefit, which I will add before I answer this question, a matter which we should also be aware of, is that the qualities of the messengers, and these can be summarized as the people of knowledge had summarized them into 8 qualities. 8 qualities. Number 1, revelation, qualified with the revelation from Allah. The evidence is in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 25. Allah the Most High says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. And we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we inspired him saying, La ilaha illa ana, none has the right to be worshipped but I, Allah, so worship me alone and none else. This is the first quality. The second quality, Al-ismatu min al-wuqu'i fil kaba'ir, protection from falling into major sins. And we will explain further. And if they fall in minor sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not concur them on them. Rather, they hasten for tawbah, for repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second matter, and I will explain it further. Thirdly, their eyes go to sleep, but not their hearts. And this came in Al-Bukhari, all the way to Anas, and it was connected. إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ تَنَامُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ وَلَا تَنَامُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the eyes of the prophets go to sleep, but not their hearts. And in the other narration, إِنَّا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ تَنَامُ أَعْيُنُنَا وَلَا تَنَامُ قُلُوبُنَا. We, the message of the prophets, our eyes go to sleep, but not our hearts. Fourth characteristic, Allah forbade on the earth to eat away the bodies of the messengers and the prophets. This is reported by Abu Dawood and Nasa'i ibn Khuzaymah, and he declared it sahih to the Prophet ﷺ, raised to the Prophet ﷺ the narration, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَن تَأْكُلَ أَسَّادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Allah forbade the earth to eat the bodies of the prophets. The fifth characteristic is giving them the choice at the time of death. The evidence is what is related in Sahih al-Bukhari from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, ما من نبي يمرض إلا خيره الله بين الدنيا والآخرة. There is no messenger while he goes to state of illness or in state of illness, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the choice between this life and the hereafter. The sixth one, that the prophets are buried in the place of their death, in the place where they die. And this is reported by Imam Ahmad and others that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لم يقبر نبي إلا حيث يموت. No prophet was buried except in the place where he died. And when the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, differed concerning where to bury the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, came and he resolved the problem immediately when he said, سمعته يقول, I heard the messenger saying, يدفن النبي حيث قبض. The prophet is to be buried where he dies. Seventh, that the prophets live a special life in their graves praying. And this is a burial life between this life of this world and the hereafter. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari. And eighth, the prophets don't inherit to others. Whatever they leave is a charity. Now we come to the issue of the isma, infallibility of the prophets. Many of the people of knowledge are in agreement that the prophets are protected from falling and preserved from falling in major sins, even to the degree that some of the scholars consider this to be ijma', consensus. However, what seems to be correct is that this is the saying of many of the prophets, many of the people of knowledge. What about the minor ones? The scholars are with the opinion that they fall. Many of the scholars are with the opinion that they fall, they may fall into sins, minor sins. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads them to success to make tawbah. And they provided some evidences for that. Like when Adam ate from the tree. And when Noah asked Allah to save his son. And that the error of David, of Dawood. And concerning our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in Surah At-Tahrim, Verse 1, Ya أيها النبي لم تحرم ما أحل الله لك. In Surah At-Tahrim, verse 1, 66 verse 1, Ya أيها النبي لم تحرم ما أحل الله لك. O Prophet, why do you ban for yourself that which Allah has made lawful to you, seeking to please your wives? Now, those who hold an opposite view say that the prophets don't fall even in minor sins, and that it is impossible for them to do so. They have the following argument. Number one, they say that the prophets are in the station of conveying da'wah, revelation and propagation of da'wah, and that their actions are actions of obedience and means of nearness to Allah. And so if they would commit these minor sins, then there will be mixing of their righteous deeds with unrighteous deeds, and thus people following them will fall in confusion. This is the first argument. The second argument, attributing a sin to a righteous person is a criticism of him. Then what about attributing it to prophets? This is the argument. In response to these arguments, the following points were made. Had there been no alert or alerting to these errors from Allah to the prophets, then we would have agreed with you. However, the fact that Allah alerts them to this, so they seek forgiveness from Allah, and they repent to Allah, and thus they become examples to their nations, and to the ones who may fall into the same error as them, therefore they will hasten the followers to tawbah, to repentance, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam hastened to the tawbah from his sin. Now, as to the second point, in response they said, concerning your argument that the sin disclaims the one who commits it and takes away from his status, this is not the case. Because the condition of the slave after his tawbah, after his repentance from his sin, is more perfect than his station before he committed the sin. Why? Because the slave, if he commits a sin, then repents afterwards, and there accompanies his tawbah, his repentance, yearning and turning to Allah, and awe and fear. There is no doubt that this did not occur had there been no sin committed earlier, thus indicating that the tawbah, the repentance of the slave from his sin, is better than his condition before committing the sin. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah had asserted in his book Madarij al-Salikin this matter. And the evidence is in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu ashaddu farahan bitawbati ahadikum. Allah is more pleased in the repentance of one of you from in the repentance of you like more pleased than the one who loses his mount in a desert and he's about to die and then he finds it. Just imagine his pleasure, his happiness. Allah is more pleased when the slave turns to him in repentance than this example of this man who lost his camel in the desert and he was about to perish. And this is an agreed upon hadith. This is in response to the question that you have raised, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And because of the importance of this matter, it's going to be found on the site under points of clarification.